Hello Niners, and welcome to the Research and Software Engineering Group. My name is Pelle Duhalleux. I work for the PEX project.
And I'm Manuel Fandrich, and I work on code contracts.
And today we're going to show you how you can use code contracts and PEX together. We're going to do that on a simple example. So the exercise of the day is to write a trim and method. So you take a string and you trim a particular string or multiple instances of that string from that string. So it's a lot of strings in the same way.
I think we'll just dive in and it should be clear.
Okay, let's start. So let's start with, so we're here in C-sharp, and I've already written my little signature of trimend.
Right, so let's start writing some contracts. Right?
So what are contracts anyway? Well,
contracts let you write preconditions and postconditions in a form that our tools can understand. So rather than just writing asserts or if then throws, we write them in a form that we can actually do something with them, and we'll show you exactly what we can do with them.
So when you say writing contracts, it means I can actually write code that expresses preconditions.
Right. So for example, we can say that target should not be null in this method.
So I would say contract dot
requires
target dot null.
Right. And in order, so what is this call? You have to have a little using statement that includes our contract library.
Okay, where is the contract library?
Oh, you haven't included it yet?
No.
Okay, let's go. Go to references, add.
So while Manuel is doing that, you can download contracts and PEX from DevLabs. The links are on the Channel 9 page.
Okay, now we can go back here and use our little super duper IntelliSense. How it works.
So contract lives in system.diagnostic.contracts, and it's a type which contains a bunch of static methods.
That's right. And so here we use one static method requires to say that the target should not be null on entry to this method. Now what else do we need to say?
I'd like to say that it's the return value is never null.
Okay, so the way you do that is like that.
Okay, so let's go through that. So contract ensures.
That says something that should hold on exit of the method.
All right.
And then here we have a special encoding that lets you refer to the result value of the method, which is, in C-sharp there's no syntax for that, so we had to come up with some encoding. And that's this little helper method here. And then we just say, well, it should not be null.
Excellent. So now I have two questions. What do I do with this?
Uh-huh. So, right.
And what do I do with this?
Well, clearly, now, if you just run this as we've written it, do you have a main method or anything?
Let's add a main method quickly. Let's turn this guy into a console. Here.
Let's call it.
There we go.
All right.
So if I run this, it didn't do anything.
Okay, let's step to see what actually happens. Nothing happens.
Nothing happens.
Just skip those things. Okay, and that is because they are conditionally defined in our library.
Okay.
And so
it feels a lot like debug assert.
Exactly.
So
normal build will not include those things. So now let's go see how to actually make them do something. So you go to properties on your project.
Because obviously the return value is null. So
in this case it is, right? So we have a new property pane here at the end of your project panes, and you can turn on runtime checking, and now some magic will happen.
Okay.
If we restep, it rebuilds, instruments the code. So now if we step into the method, aha, we're executing the precondition. In this case, that will succeed.
Hold on. We jumped over the
That's right, because of course it's a postcondition, that is, it needs to be validated on exit of the method. So we didn't execute it where you wrote it, but you wrote it there because it's logically part of the signature of the method. So you want to see, just like you want to see the return type of your method, and not look at the bottom.
All the contracts should always be.
Everything is at the top, yes.
Okay.
So now after we do the actual return, now we're going to see the post condition being checked. And of course, in this case, it will fail. And we see that in this case, we get an exception saying.
And in fact, the message is pretty useful. Post condition failed, contract result was a null.
It should be not null.
Yes. Should be not null.
That's right.
Excellent. Okay.
You have to, I think this is the exception system that doesn't let you.
It doesn't let me get away?
No, it doesn't let you get away. You have to stop.
Okay, let's stop. Right.
Okay. All right. So what is PEX?
So PEX is a test generator. It tries to it generates inputs and tries to cover every statement in your program. And as a side effect, it might actually find bugs, since assert has a branch in it. And similarly, all the contracts really boil down to branches in the little helper method. So for example, in the context of contracts, whenever you add a post condition, well, PEX will try to break it and find a bug in it.
So let's see what PEX does with this method here.
So we can just right-click and say run PEX.
Once you install it from DevLab.
Once you install it from DevLab, you don't need a test project, you just right-click in that method and say run PEX. And PEX is going to start from that method and generate inputs to cover every branches. And then it shows a little dialog here. So let's take a look. Oops. Never understand this business. Okay, so what do we get here? We got a table, so the inputs here, target and suffix, are mapped to the columns here, target and suffix. And every row in that table is a generated test. Of course, so far we don't have a test project, so everything lives in memory, and we don't really need to save it, we're just playing around. So we can see that the first row we have a construct exception, which states that the precondition failed, which is good. And then the second test says, well, the postcondition failed, which is not good. So we found that if target was not null, so the empty string, and suffix was null, then we would get this postcondition failure. So,
which is pretty clear because we didn't actually implement it.
Which is years of work to find this.
All right, exactly. So let's fix that. So what do we do? We could just return the target.
Let's return the target.
And run PEX again.
We run PEX. And PEX is happy. Okay. So what do we do now?
Well, I think what we did is we didn't specify enough contracts to describe the proper behavior of this method, right? We just said, target should not be null. In that case, result is not null. That's easy to satisfy. Now let's say something more. So for example, we want to be sure that the result does not end in the suffix, right?
So you're using snippets here.
Yeah, I'm just using snippets because it's going to be faster to type.
There's a number of snippets to write contracts. It's all documented, CR, CE, and so forth. So here you're mentioning that the result should not end with the suffix.
Yeah, I have to negate it, so.
Okay. So now we can go ahead and run PEX again. Just give us a little bit more space. Aha!
Now, more interesting things have happened.
Right? That was synchronized.
Okay, so looks like we have ourselves an argument null exception here when we pass suffix into the ends with.
Uh-huh.
So we should probably have a little...
So we're violating a contract...
of another method we're calling.
So we should leave the contract to...
That's right. You basically propagate this to your method here, right? And... should not have a null suffix.
Right. So now we can see actually that the case where suffix is null is now a precondition violation.
It's now green.
It's now green. And now we have still some postcondition failures.
This is an interesting one.
This is an interesting one because suffix is the empty string. And all strings end up with the empty string.
Right. So do we want suffixes that are empty?
Maybe we simply for our life and
I
make
think
the
so
requirement
too.
More
I think it doesn't make sense to have
more aggressive. So it's interesting to note that the contracts take any expression beyond just null checks, and that's a big reason why it is there are APIs and not just custom attributes.
That's right, exactly, because it'd be hard to do that properly. Okay, so we've now limited our search to cases where the suffix is non-empty. Okay, now this looks better. So now we have a test case here.
Which obviously is wrong, but I guess we didn't really implement anything so far.
That's right, because we're not yet trimming anything.
Yes. Okay. So we are in the red state right now, if you think about TDD.
Yes.
We have a failing contract, right. We have a failing test, and we can actually try to implement something.
In some sense, the contracts are tests or test oracles, and so we're doing test-driven development to make sure that those oracles are going to succeed.
You tell me.
Yeah, that's correct.
happy, we run pegs again, and of course I should return results. Didn't get away so easily.
Okay, looks pretty good.
So the case that we had 0, 0 now passes.
Because now it returns the next string.
We get the next one, which is passing two characters, trimming the first suffix, but forgetting the second suffix.
So we clearly have to do this repeatedly by just doing a while. Oops.
And we'll run again.
Et voilà.
So now we get a bunch of test cases, pretty good code coverage, and we've documented how trim n works. Anybody can go in and read the contracts. It's pretty clear how it should behave. Now it's not a full specification.
No, it's hard to do full functional specifications. So all the contracts we write are always partial specifications, but they're useful as documentation and also for tools that will analyze the code that calls the trim n method that we wrote here.
Excellent. So I think we can finish the video here. We'll do more videos on how PEX and contracts work together. There's a bunch of very cool scenarios that we don't have the time to do today. Manuel, thank you.
Thanks.
Niners, see you around.